come from far, from far, from far to save us. We come from far, from far, from far to save us. My tent is no more peace. Down there in Egypt's land, you see me no more there. Oh, I live in another land. Oh, my tent is no more peace. Down there in Egypt's land, you see me no more there. Oh, I live in Alleluia.
Brother here, his name is Tess. I won't look at him. He'll be singing for us one of these days. isn't us? Hallelujah. Amen. Let's stand up. Let's sing. We come from far, from far, from far to save the Lord. From far, from far, from far.
Try. I do greet you this morning in Jesus' name. Just want to greet Sister Sanangi, who's Sister Patience's cousin. God bless you, sister. Nice to be with you. May the Lord bless you in his house today. One announcement as well, youth outing tomorrow. It's pretty, what can we say? Pretty optimistic. We'll be meeting at the church at 7 in the morning. Is that right, bro? So, for more details, please see Brother Wilmore after church. So, I think the saints are wanting to go to Wicklow. So, they want to get a real early start. So, that's going to need a lot of grace. Brother Jose is giving a thanksgiving. He would like to thank the saints for their prayers and support during the time he was writing exams. They all went fine, and he'd like to thank the Lord for his grace. So we do thank the Lord for that. May the Lord be praised. Let's open the Bible, saints. Let's open Matthew chapter 3. We'll read the last few verses of Matthew 3 and just the beginning of Matthew chapter 4. Let's read from 13, Matthew 3:13. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Chapter 4, verse 1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterwards hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Father, we bring your word back to you. Father, this is the bread of life. Father, we know that only your hands can break this bread in an acceptable way. Father, we can read the outward portion of the word. But Father, how we need your grace to get below the surface, to have a communion with you, with your word. So Father, we're looking unto you upon this day. That's the purpose that we've gathered in this place. Father, we've come to worship you. We've come to wait upon you, Lord. Father, we're seeking for fresh battle orders. Father, we're seeking to be better equipped. We're seeking, Lord, Father, to be, Father, day by day ministered closer to the image that you want us to be. So help us, Lord, as we look to you. Father, may you bless your people this day. Father, thank you for what you've done for Brother Jose. Amen. Father, you said that you'd give us good success. And we thank you for that, Lord. Father, may you be glorified for that, Lord. Thank you for our sister who's visiting us, Lord. May you bless her. Father, give her a good time. Lord, as she'd be in this land, may she go back with good memories. May she be a blessing unto us and we be a blessing unto her. And Father, as the youth would go tomorrow, Father, I pray that you'd just be with them, Lord. Father, that you'd walk with them in the way. Even as in the shores of Galilee, Lord, when you'd sit down and you'd speak. And Father, such profound things would come forth and you'd do such wonderful works. Father, just in the simplicity of things, let it be so. Once again, we ask and pray. May your hand of protection and grace be upon each of your children, Lord, as they go in this new day. Now, Father, we're looking unto thee, Lord, to pray for our fellow ministers. Brother Tom is in Wales. I do pray your blessing upon him upon this weekend. Father, the brother who's preaching in Donegal today, Brother Nestor, may your hand be upon him. May you bless him as well and give them traveling mercies, we pray. And Father, for Brother Christian, Brother Billy, Lord, I do pray for them. May you bless them. Father, be with your people upon this day. We've gathered, Lord, in like manner. We've gathered in the same name. We've gathered, Lord, under the same banner. So, Father, may you be magnified, we ask. Lord, help us now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Saints, you may be seated. Now, if you had to give Jesus a title, I think one of the great titles of Jesus is He's the Great Overcomer. Amen. You know, the prophet preached the message, How Can I Overcome? And he speaks about Jesus being the Great Overcomer. And the wonderful thing about the Word of God is that, you know, the Word of God is, the Lord inspired His Word and delivered His Word in such a way that it can be taken in different ways, applied to different situations. For example, when we read about the Lord Jesus Christ in this Matthew chapter 4, the temptation in the wilderness, it was a great battle, it was a great conflict. Obviously, there were the real purposes of his mission and his calling and how he had to conquer and overcome the devil himself so that he could be our real kinsman redeemer. No, he had to pay the price. He had to be proved and tried. He had to be the Passover lamb without spot or blemish and so forth. But there's also real wonderful things in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ in the days of his flesh, in that whatever Jesus did in the days of his flesh, he was leaving footprints for us. He was our great example as well. So when we see the way the devil would deal with him and we see the way he had overcome the devil, there's real rich, there's rich nourishment for us, we could say, which we need in this kind of a time to overcome in our day. Now there's something about that with the word that I really, really do like. Now, you know, for your soul and mine, I was just thinking of it this week. You know, the prophet speaks about Moses and how his mother put him in the ark and put him into the Nile, and how, you know, the grace of God allowed that precious little cogger, that treasure, Moses, to navigate through the crocodiles, through the dangers. We know the way that the prophet makes it into a drama, to bring him safely to the place that he was supposed to be. And if the truth be told, friends, for anybody's soul to get safely into the kingdom of God at the end of this journey, it's even more of a miracle than Moses being put in that Nile in the midst of that danger. Because now what we have to navigate through, the trials, the temptations, the things that we have to go through, many times things we never expected. Many times things we never ever thought that we're going to have to go through. You know, the ambushes the devil gives us, the conflict we go through. Like Paul says, you know, conflict within, conflict without, and all the different things that Paul had to endure. Now, for somebody's soul to go right safely through this journey, to navigate through deception, through temptation, through deceit, and to come safely to the end of the journey, really shows the grace of God. Amen. That really shows the hand of God. You know, for someone to overcome, it really shows that this process of overcoming, of you and I really overcoming the world, overcoming the devil, overcoming and becoming what we're supposed to be, and getting safely to the end of the journey, it's not going to be in our own ability that we can do it. It's not going to be our own strength, because the devil that we're contending with, he's overcome the world. I mean, today, if you look out there and those 6-7 billion people that are out there, how many people today are real overcomers? How many people have really overcome the devil? How many people today are walking with God in the midst of this evil age? How many people are overcoming the darkness, or being transformed more and more into vessels of light, vessels of honor? How many people have really risen above the conditions of this day? Not just being dictated to, pushed around, overcome at the devil's whim. But how many people are there in this age that are real overcomers? Friends, it's not a lot. In all ages, there's very few overcomers. The prophet says there's many people who come out, but there's not that many people who overcome. There's many people who can gather, and many people who can profess, and people who can confess a lot of different things. But the real overcomer is a different category of people. And for us to be overcomers, we have to learn these principles of overcoming. And the first principle you have to learn is that it's not by power and it's not by might. It's not by your ability. It's not by your intelligence or wisdom. Because there's far more capable people, naturally speaking, out there that are completely overtaken by the devil today. There's far more intelligent people. Now, if you'd look at it, you would think there's far greater qualified people than you and I today, who you would think they should be the overcomers, but they're not overcoming. Amen. Which shows that there's certain qualifications and certain things that make an overcomer that we need to study. Because I want to finish up this race as an overcomer. I know the Lord's granted me grace to overcome in many things. And same with you. But friends, the battle's not yet over. Now there's still further battles to fight. Because this is a great campaign that we're involved in. Like if you take the Second World War, it was one great big war, but there were many battles in that war. You know, there was the battle for France and Germany overcame. And then there was Dunkirk, when the British had to evacuate all of their troops. And then there was the Battle of Britain in the skies, when, you know, the British Air Force overcame the Germans. Then there was D-Day. the battle of Europe, and there was a battle in the Pacific Ocean between the Americans and the Japanese. There were all the different battles that took place in order to gain one victory in a war. And friends, that's what you want. When we come to the end of this journey, when we come to the end of this age, we want to make sure that we've won this war in Christ. Because many we know, they won battles in the past, but where are they today? Some have made shipwreck of their faith. Some have been conquered by the devil since then. So it's not just the past victories or the past battles that qualifies as overcomers. It's overcoming right to the end. And the Lord Jesus Christ, He was the prime overcomer. Because this battle which He had with the devil in the wilderness never started in the wilderness. It started in heaven. When Michael and his angels fought against Lucifer and his angels, fought against the dragon, that old serpent, and cast him out. Then it came down into human battles, the prophet said. And then we find the same Michael, now in the days of his flesh, the Lord Jesus Christ, fighting the same serpent, but it's a different kind of a warfare. Showing that there's going to be certain times you're going to have to fight a real spiritual warfare. Like when Michael overcame Lucifer. Sometimes it's wrestling, and it's that kind of combat where it's real spiritual warfare, and you have to cast him out. There's those times in your spiritual experience you have to fight like that. But more often than not, that's not the kind of warfare that we're involved in. More often it's this warfare like in the wilderness, this temptation in the wilderness. When the devil was coming to him in another kind of a way. He's not coming with his sword out and his shield and his armor and facing him face to face. But it's a more subtle kind of a warfare. This was the real temptation of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is when he was put to test in the wilderness. But it was just a continuation of a battle that's ever been going. And this battle went down into the wilderness and Jesus conquered him in the wilderness. Then it came into Gethsemane and it was another great battle in Gethsemane. And Jesus had to overcome in Gethsemane, wrestling in prayer and prevailing and overcoming. And then there was the great conquering battle on the cross, when Jesus overcame him on the cross. But the battle continues, and we're waiting for the great battle of Armageddon, where it's going to be Michael and Lucifer once again fighting. That culminating battle that comes at the end of our age. So this battle continues on. And you learn one thing from there, is that the devil is very persistent. If he can't get you in one way, he's going to try to get you in another. And if he can't get you like that, he's not the kind of guy who gets disappointed very easily. The devil's not the kind of opponent who quickly gives up. The Bible says he departed for a season from the Lord Jesus Christ. And he chooses his season very carefully. He knows exactly when to approach you, and he knows exactly how to approach you at that time. Like I say, sometimes he'll come straight forward. But sometimes he doesn't come like that. He knows the best way. He chooses the time. He chooses the occasion. But it's all part of the same great spiritual warfare that every believer has been in ever since the beginning. Now, the time of this warfare, we read the scripture. Just after the Lord Jesus Christ was baptized, the Lord Jesus Christ comes out in the power of the Spirit. Straight. He's going straight into his ministry. And what is the first thing that the Lord Jesus Christ has to do in his ministry? Is get into a conflict with the devil. And that shows as well, friends, if you want to rise up, if you want to start doing something for the Lord. Now, all the years gone by, Jesus was now 30 years old, yeah? We never saw any conflict between him and the devil. We just saw it when he was born. When there was that former rain and the Holy Ghost swept down and angels appeared unto people. And the seed was sown, and John the Baptist was born, and Jesus was born, and Mary and Elizabeth prophesied, and there was Simeon and Anna. When there was that move at that time, the devil raised his head. And Herod tried to slaughter the innocents, and we know the different things that took place then. But then things went very quiet. You don't have any conflict between Jesus and the devil from when he was born until Matthew chapter 4. And it just shows you that, friends, that when we believers and we're just sitting at home, sitting on our hands, we're not doing anything to threaten the devil. We're not doing anything to shake his kingdom. We're not going forward in the calling to which we've called. The devil doesn't mind much about us. Amen. Now, he likes that kind of a believer. And that's why if many times you'll find a believer saying, no, I don't have a lot of these problems that other people have. That's not a very good sign. It shouldn't be like that. Because the moment the Lord Jesus Christ went forth in the power of the Spirit, the moment there was a move, the moment that God wanted to do something, the devil immediately pulled out his sword.
Amen.
And met the Lord Jesus Christ face to face at that time.
Amen.
And it's always like that.
Amen.
Whenever you want to rise up, expect conflict. It's going to come. Whenever you wanted to gird up your loins and say, I need to overcome these things. It's too long. I've been wrestling against these things. Expect conflict.
Amen.
Because it's the devil's way. And as soon as Jesus rose up, you find straight away the devil was there. In the same way that Jesus had just had such a blessing. Imagine the Holy Ghost came down and the voice spoke and said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. It shows also after your times of spiritual blessing, expect a conflict.
Amen.
The prophet says the devil's going to try to knock out of you that confidence that God has built inside of you. So whenever you see some progress, whenever you see some momentum, whenever you've had a sweet, precious time of communion, a spiritual experience, a spiritual victory, expect conflict.
Amen.
Expect it because you've attracted the attention of the devil. There's something now that he's been made alert of. There's something moving, something happening in the spiritual realm. And Satan's not going to leave it like that. That is his game. That is his occupation. He's our adversary, the devil, the Bible says. So he's going to be your adversary. And that's why to be a Christian is to be a soldier. To be a Christian is to prepare for battle day by day. To be a Christian isn't to expect a life of ease. The prosperity gospel, friends, is a false gospel.
Amen.
The prosperity gospel they're preaching out wants anything which is pain, suffering, hardship. They don't even want to speak about it. Where's the devil then? Where's the devil? The devil will give you all the riches in the world as long as you don't trouble him. But the moment you start standing for truth, the moment you start standing for righteousness, the moment you in your life start shining light, the moment that you start influencing other people towards the kingdom of God, he's your adversary. Expect him to rise up and he won't take long. Because the moment the Lord Jesus Christ came out of the waters and the moment that he received that blessing and heard that voice, immediately he was led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And there was that great conflict that took place. The very first thing that the Lord Jesus Christ had to do. Before he went forth, before he went to preach, before he went to do anything else, he had to overcome. There was this conflict. There was this warfare that he had to overcome in order for him to be what he was supposed to be. He had to go this way. So he was led into the wilderness, the Bible says. This was not just him getting himself in a situation of temptation. Now, like it says, never tempt the devil to tempt you. Never put yourself in the way of temptation. Don't put yourself in the way where you're going to meet the devil unless you're being led of the Lord to meet the devil that way. Because the Lord Jesus Christ, he was in the line of duty. He was being led of the Spirit into the wilderness. Then the devil came. And you'll find Matthew 3, God was equipping him for the conflict. He went to the Jordan. God was preparing him for this great battle that he had to face. And that's how it is. If you and I are led of the Spirit, we're going to have conflicts.
Amen.
We're going to have battles. There's going to be a lot of things that rise up. But he's going to prepare us for them.
Amen.
If we're spiritual enough, God will equip you. God will prepare you. And then you'll find yourself in the midst of conflict. But there's nothing worse than finding yourself unprepared. Remember the disciples when the Lord Jesus Christ was arrested and the powers of darkness came down and they weren't prepared for that conflict. Jesus was prepared.
Amen.
It was the grace of God. It was the prayers of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was his protective eye as the shepherd who kept them at that time.
Amen.
But they never had the power to keep themselves. But see later on in their callings how Paul and Peter and them were equipped. How God would bless them. God would visit them. God would come down to Paul and say, fear not, Paul. I'm with you. I have many people in the city. Doesn't matter what happens to you. God would equip just as much as God equips you and I for the conflicts that he's going to lead us and guide us into. And that is why the word, friends, is not something to take lightly. The word isn't something just to leave a church or to just leave it at home when you go to work or you go to college or things like that. The word is what equips you. The quickened word, the anointed word, the revealed word is God's provided way of equipping you and I for the battles that are to come. The conflicts of this week, the conflicts facing us tomorrow, the conflicts facing us next month. Surely it's His desire to equip us now for these conflicts that we have to face up to. He wants to clothe us now. And it was revealed truth, the real revelation of the word that gave Jesus power over the devil, that allowed him to overcome. It wasn't the prophet says his great gifts that he had. He didn't use his great gifts to overcome the devil. He didn't use his great power and authority to overcome the devil. He used the word. He used the anointed word. But he was prepared. Matthew 3, he was in prayer. Then he went into the Jordan. Then he was baptized of the Holy Ghost. He was clothed with the spiritual armor. Then he went forth into battle and he took the sword of the Spirit, which was the word. And that's how he overcame. And the Lord Jesus Christ has given us an example there. Because without prayer, you'll never fully be prepared for the battle. Amen. It's fine to read, it's fine to listen, but you've got to pray. There's something about prayer that equips you for the conflict.
Amen.
Jesus showed us the way in Gethsemane.
Amen.
Before that greatest of conflicts on Calvary, he overcame in prayer.
Amen.
The battle was won on his knees, first of all. And when he entered into the conflict himself, he was calm in his soul. He was prepared. He walked into it knowing what he was doing, knowing what to expect. Nothing was going to take him unawares at that time. But it took those wrestlings in prayer, sometimes those agonizings in prayer, to prevail and overcome. Like Jacob before he went to meet Esau. The battle was won in prayer. The battle was won at the brook Peniel when he was left on his own and there appeared an angel, the angel of the Lord, and he wrestled in prayer. And the Bible says in Amos that he made supplication and he wept unto the angel. It was a real, real time of conflict, a time of overcoming himself. And that is what prepared him for the conflict that his footsteps had been ordained to walk into. Because friends, the footsteps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord. God knows exactly the valleys we've got to go through. He knows the hilltops we've got to walk. He knows the path that we must take. And when he sees we come into those rough parts of the way, when he sees we get into those treacherous junctions and those seasons of conflict and trial that we'll have to go through, surely if the enemy is going to come in like a flood, the Lord is going to raise up a standard to meet him. But you've got to respond to put yourself in that place that you prepared for the conflict that is to come. Now, this battle of Matthew 4, it was in the days of Jesus' flesh. He had come as our kinsman redeemer. He wasn't Michael the archangel anymore. He wasn't Melchizedek anymore, the king and the priest. He came now in the days of his flesh. He came for our redemption as our kinsman redeemer. Shunga, these battles that he fought in the days of his flesh, these were redemptive battles. These were battles to do with redemption, with the working out of the plan of redemption. These were battles that he had to face so that he would be fully equipped down the line of redemption, for him to be our great high priest, for him to be sympathetic to us in our temptation. He had to be tempted.
Amen.
He had to prevail and he had to overcome. So these were redemptive battles. These weren't just ordinary kind of conflicts, but there was something deeper than that. And friends, there's those things that you and I go through in our lives as well. There's certain things that God ordains us to go through. And you know, a lot is hinging on this. Because when the Lord Jesus Christ went into this battle in the wilderness, all of redemption, all of us, all of our souls and all of our inheritance was depending on him.
Amen.
Because if he was going to lose this conflict, if he was going to submit to the evil one, if he was going to defile himself in some way, we were lost. Because he wasn't qualified to be our kinsman redeemer then. He wasn't going to be the spotless lamb who takes away the sins of the world. So this was a great crucial time in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. And friends, we all have times like that.
Amen.
We all have times, we were speaking with Brother Vlad about it last night, we all have times where we need to seek the will of God with desperation.
Amen.
The prophet says, how can you do the will of God if you don't know the will of God?
Amen.
And how can you know His will without desperation?
Amen.
There's those seasons, those junctions that you don't know what to do next. The prophet got to those times, many places in his ministry, when he wouldn't know what to do. He wouldn't know what's the next stage. How do we take things from where we are to the next place that it's supposed to be? Those are not just normal times in your life. Those are times when you need to gird yourself.
Amen.
Those are times you need to do like the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
You got to get yourself 40 days and 40 nights.
Right.
Time of preparation. Then you got to get yourself into the conflict.
Amen.
Then you've got to overcome. Then you got to come out the other side. And you're not the same as the way that you were when you went in. It's a battle, friends, at those junctions in time. And you can sense it inside of your soul. At those critical junctures in your calling, in your Christian walk, in whatever it is that Christ has called you for, there's going to be those crucial junctions. And friends, at those kind of times, be very careful.
Amen.
Be very prayerful.
Amen.
Be very humble.
Amen.
Be very yielded. Yield yourself to Him.
Amen.
Seek His face.
Amen.
Lay aside the ordinary business of life and stay there until. Be like Daniel, 120 days waiting upon the Lord, because he knew this is an important juncture. We're not exactly sure what needs to be done next. He needed fresh orders from above. He needed something to break through. He knew his sins were under the atonement of the blood. He knew he was righteous before the Lord. He knew that everything was the way that it should be. But he needed the Lord to send something through to him. To show him the next step that he needed to take. To show him what was expected and required of him at that time. And friends, at those kind of times, we don't want to be presuming. We don't want to be venturing without authority. Because if we lead ourselves into the wilderness, we're in a lot of trouble. You don't want to lead yourself into the wilderness. You want to be led into the wilderness. You want to be in the path of duty when you meet the enemy. You want to make sure that you know where you're standing when he comes to face you face to face. You don't want to be presuming and guessing at those kind of times. That's why now if you find that your feet are not upon the rock the way that they should be, now is the time.
Amen.
Now is the time to prepare yourself.
Amen.
Because the next stage in the conflict isn't far off.
Amen.
It wasn't far off for the Lord Jesus Christ. Almost every page of the Gospels, he was in conflict. The devil trying to trap him through the Pharisees with questions. The people offering to make him a king. All the different things that he had to go through. The temptation at the well with the woman at the well. The prophet said he had to be tempted like all of the men who had failed in days gone by. Noah was overtaken with drunkenness. What do you think at the Feast of Cana? Jesus there with the wine. The prophet said he had to be tempted like Noah. But he had to overcome that which had overcome those of the past. He had to be tempted like David with Bathsheba, by the woman at the well. But David was overcome, but there was a greater than David on the scene. And the Lord Jesus Christ prevailed and overcame at that junction. So it's always going to be like that, friends. It's not going to take long before the devil's going to be trying to do something. And like I said, when I was in Pentecost, and that the pastor used to always say, make sure you meet God before you meet the devil. And I think that's real good counsel. Make sure you meet him before you enter the conflict, because then you will be prepared. Then you will have the qualifications, the discernment. He will have ministered to you what it is that you require to overcome in that conflict. And the Lord Jesus Christ, when he entered this conflict, he knew exactly what its purpose was. He knew he had to overcome. He knew that this was so important down the line of redemption. He knew this is a redemptive battle. He knew my ministry, my calling, my purpose cannot go any further until I overcome this. He couldn't bypass this. He couldn't try to find some other way. No one else could do this for him. He had to do it himself. And that's the same as us. No one else can fight your battles for you, my friend. No one else can overcome for you.
Amen.
People can encourage you. People can point you in the right direction. People can try to show you where their armor is.
Amen.
The Lord can try to minister that armor upon you. But the battle is yours. These are personal battles. Because the promise is to the overcomer. He that overcometh shall sit with me in my throne. As I also overcame and am seated with my Father in his throne. It's an individual walk. Yes, there's a body that God puts us in to encourage us and to strengthen us and to equip us along the way. But when the battle gets thick and hard, it's between you and the devil. It's wrestling with the devil. It's face-to-face conflict. It's you that has to prevail over the powers of the enemy. Yes, God will use others to minister what you need. God will use others to give you whatever other things that you need to overcome in the conflict. But when push comes to shove, it's you. Close combat, personal face-to-face with the devil. Because that's what it was with the Lord Jesus Christ. It was just him and the devil in the wilderness. There was no one else there. Yes, angels ministered to him after that. But when the real conflict came on, it was between him and the devil. And what was at stake was his calling. What was at stake was his adoption. What was at stake was him fulfilling the purpose unto which he was born. That was what was at stake. Friends, in these battles that you and I face up to, these aren't light battles we're facing up to. There's much at stake at these certain junctures in the road. And you want to make sure those kind of times you receive fresh battle orders from above. You want to make sure that you break through into a certain spiritual place until spiritual things become clear to you. Until you know what is expected of you. We don't want to be guessing at these kind of times. You don't want to be standing at these junctures not sure. What am I supposed to do? Where am I supposed to be? What does God expect of me? At those kind of times, friends, we need to shut ourselves in the secret closet. We need to get ourselves into the secret place of the Most High. We need to wait upon the Lord. We need to hear His voice. The same voice that spoke to you when you were in the world. The same voice that said, turn around. And you repented. The same voice that spoke to Lazarus that said, Lazarus came forth. The same voice that spoke to you. When you were dead in sin and trespasses and resurrected you from among the dead, spiritually speaking, that's the same voice that you need to hear in order to overcome in your conflict. The fresh battle orders. The La Fontaine sing that song, Lord, I need a brand new touch. My strength from yesterday is gone. The victories of yesterday, we thank the Lord for them. We can have the ribbons and the medals and all that, but those things aren't going to help us in the battle today unless we're taking the principles that we learned in the battles gone by. And sometimes some of the best lessons that we learned, the most virtuous of the principles that equip us for conflicts to come, are the battles that we've lost in days gone by, are the mistakes that we've made, are the times that we're caught unawares and the devil put us down on our backs. Because a righteous man will fall 7 times, but he gets up again 7 times. And some of the most virtuous things that you can learn, some of the things that best equip you in your spiritual armor are your failures of the past. Are the times when you fell short. Are the times when you missed the mark. So don't be too discouraged by those things. Don't allow the devil to be pointing back and saying, but you failed here and you failed there. Let those things, the prophet said, be stepping stones, not stumbling blocks. Let those things be stepping stones so that the next time you meet him, it's put a certain determination inside of your soul. It's put a certain something inside of your spiritual backbone that you never had there before. It's put some certain spiritual armor, a certain keenness on your spiritual sword that you didn't have before. It's put a certain firmness in the hand that holds the shield of faith that you didn't have there before. And I believe those kind of things equip us in ways that many times victories don't equip us. Victories can be deceptive things because you get into a false sense of security. And the devil's going to come and give you a whipping if you're not careful after that. He likes to do those kind of things. But friends, failures, the mistakes that we've made, the times we've stumbled and fallen, the times we were sincere but we got it wrong, the times we chose the wrong fork in the path, and we got ourselves out in the wilderness for a season. There's real virtuous lessons that we can learn from those things. And the prophet would always go back and speak of those things. He'd speak of all the things that he'd been through in his ministry. Because he knew in the life of a believer, even the times when your footsteps take you to places where you're not as victorious as you wanted to be, or you never achieved what you were hoping to achieve, God ordains the footsteps of the righteous. He was going to teach you things there that are vital for the final victory.
Amen.
He's going to teach you things there that are vitally important for you to be fully equipped to fully overcome in the conflict.
Amen.
And that's why Satan, he knows that. That's why he doesn't come the same way many times. Many times he comes to attack us and try to overcome us, and he doesn't even want us to know that it was him. He doesn't want us even to recognize that it was a conflict or that was a spiritual battle. Doesn't want us many times to realize how important it was what we've just been through.
Amen.
He wants us just to rush on into the next stage of life and get so busy in the activity and the affairs of this life that we never glean the virtue. We never glean the spiritual lessons. We never ever allow those things of the past to do something to us to better equip us as soldiers of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
But Paul would learn. Peter would learn. The peoples of the past, Moses would learn, David would learn, and they would allow those things, those campaigns they went through, when things didn't go the way that they should have, that would have allowed those things to better equip them for that conflict and that battle that was coming up ahead. Now in the message, how can I overcome? The prophet says a few things about overcoming. And the first thing he says is, to overcome means to stand the test. So you can never say you're an overcomer if you didn't stand the test.
Amen.
That's why never run away from the test. It's tempting, friends. In us as human beings, we don't want conflict. We don't want to have to go through those kind of things. But you can never be an overcomer until you first stand the test. Then he says to overcome means to recognize the devil in every one of his tricks. One of the most pitiful things is when the devil overcomes you and you don't even recognize the tricks of the devil that he overcame you with. But surely we need to be learning those lessons.
Amen.
If he knocked you down before, if you are doing well and somehow he derailed you and put you in the ditch once again in your Christian experience, surely you don't need to just bypass that. Surely you need to recognize this was the trick of the devil. He overcame me. Let me learn from this. So that next time when he comes, I'm going to be wiser. I'm not going to allow him to overcome me with those same tricks once and again. Rather, let him use some new tactic. But I think it's a shame, friends, when you're continually overtaken by the devil in the same way. That you look and say, but this is the way that he overcame me before. I remember when I first repented, this happened, and then this happened and that. No, let these things give us a certain spiritual wisdom. Lead us to a different place of spiritual maturity and wisdom. Because don't forget, character and wisdom and maturity aren't gifts. They're victories, the prophet says. It's a victory. It's when you overcome something, when you understand something, that enriches your experience. That gives you a boost in your spiritual wisdom. That like moves you on as a veteran further down the way in spiritual warfare. But you've got to recognize your enemy. You've got to recognize the devil in every one of his tricks. And the way the devil's going to fight you is different than the way he's going to fight me. The way that he fought the prophet was different than the way that he'd fight Luther in his day or Wesley in his day. He knows the day. He knows the time. And he studies his opponent. He studies his adversary. So we should be studying him as well. We should be studying his past campaigns in the scriptures. Right from the Eden campaign when he overcame our father and mother in the flesh, Adam and Eve. We should be going through the Sinai campaign when Israel was in the wilderness 40 years and many of them made shipwreck of their faith. Many of them fell and perished in the wilderness. We should be studying those campaigns to see what he did to our fathers that were before us. We should be going through the Old Testament with Samson and David, like we said, and bringing up through the New Testament, studying both the defeats and studying the victories. How did the people overcome? And how were the people overcome? Because God has put these things in his word as examples for us, the Bible says, that we may learn thereby. And they say that they who fail to learn from history are condemned to repeat its mistakes.
Amen.
If you don't learn from those things, from your history, from spiritual history, from the great pool of spiritual knowledge, the great manual of spiritual warfare that God has left for us, if I don't learn these lessons, friends, we're not going to overcome as quickly as we should overcome. We're not going to progress as quickly and as far as we should progress.
Amen.
Now, the prophet, he says that. He says, one of the keys, now, and I really do believe this is the greatest key in this message. If you go and listen to the message, how can I overcome? He says, you must realize that the one that is in you has already overcome.
Amen.
That's where our overcoming is going to be.
Amen.
We're not going to overcome by leaning on the outward man. The devil's going to overcome this outward man every day of the week if we're not careful.
Amen.
He's had a lot of experience in doing it. But the inner man, if the Holy Ghost is in you, if you have been born from above, if you are really born again of the Spirit of Christ, he that is in you has already overcome all the temptations of the devil. He knows how to do it. He's experienced. He knows exactly how to overcome. So the conflict's going to come in here between our outer man and the inner man. If we can allow the inner man to dominate in the time of conflict, if we can get in harmony and tune with the inner man, and we can allow the inner man to be the one to fight the war, we're going to overcome every time. Because he that is in us is greater than he that is in the world. And the Lord Jesus Christ was proving it here in Matthew 4. In this great wilderness campaign that he had to fight, he overcame the devil in all manner of temptation. He showed that he is the overcomer. And Jesus says, do not be afraid, do not fear. Fear not, I have overcome the world. And he says, I will not leave you. I will be with you, even in you, right to the end of the age.
Amen.
That's how we overcome, friends.
Amen.
And every time that we've been overcome is because we've tried to use our head knowledge. We've been led by our emotions. We've tried to use the talents and the abilities of the outward man. And the devil will twist you around his finger every day of the week.
Amen.
If you try to overcome him using that kind of an approach. But if you use what God has equipped you with in the inner man, he has already overcome. He's already overcome the devil. The prophet says, the one that is in you has already overcome him. And by his grace, you are more than a match for him. There's real overcoming when you recognize. You've got to recognize who's in you. You've got to recognize the importance of what God has put in you. You have to recognize the importance of that. And when the conflict's coming, you've got to try to get the natural man out of the way so that the inner man can come forth and he can be in the front lines in the battle because he knows how to overcome. He knows no matter which way the devil's going to come to you, he knows the correct approach to the battle. He knows exactly the weapons of the warfare that you and I need to use in what we're going through now. And that's why I was saying, without prayer, you can never overcome. The prophet says Jesus had to pray much to stay in harmony with the spirit that was in him. Because outwardly he was a man. These were the battles in the days of his flesh. These were redemptive battles. And Jesus knew, I can't face this up just as a man. He says, I've got to be in tune with my Father who dwells inside of me. I've got to get battle orders. I've got to use the divine resources that have been given unto me. He that dwells inside of me. And that's why Jesus would be much in prayer and much in the Word. And that's what made him the perfect overcomer, the great overcomer. He could never be overcome because he said, I do nothing unless my Father first shows me. How are you going to overcome a man like that? That he does nothing until first the Father tells him what to do. But where have we made our mistakes, friends? Where are our defeats come from? We didn't wait for Father. We didn't wait for battle orders from above. We reacted, we acted, we went on an impulse, we went on a whim. We got ourselves into the conflict before we were fully prepared. And it's just the grace of God. God allows us to do that because he wants to teach us those principles. And the Lord restrains the devil and brings us out, and we come with our bruises and our cuts, and we come and our sword is hanging down and our shield is dragging along the ground. And the Lord says, don't worry, this will better equip you for the next time.
Amen.
But you've got to learn that he that is in you is the one that has overcome.
Amen.
He says in paragraph 106, you must realize that the Holy Spirit that is in you has already overcome this thing. And he's in you, and you can overcome by him.
Amen.
That's the key. We'll never lose if we follow that principle. We can never lose if we follow that principle. Then he speaks of Mr. Lily, Reverend Lily. And he says, you look at that pond lily. He says, down it goes, the seed right into the muck and the mire. Down at the bottom of the pond. Yet there's resources. There's a certain principle of life inside of that pond lily. And it just, that life inside of it, it responds to the light. It just discerns and knows where the light is. And as it puts down its roots and it starts to draw its resources now, starts to draw its strength, it starts to press now. It presses through all the opposition that's around it. It presses through the darkness and the mud and the dirt that's trying to keep it from expressing what it's supposed to express. And it just keeps using the resources, and it has this life principle inside of itself. And it pushes and it pushes. Then it breaks through the mud. Then it pushes through the weeds, and it pushes through whatever there is in the pond until finally it breaks through, the prophet says. And then it displays what was in it. It displays itself for the glory of God. And not only does it display what it's supposed to display, but here comes the bees and the wasps. And they're drawing now the resources from it. And it's ministering to God's creation. But it had to press and it had to fight. It had to allow that which was in it to express itself. But it wasn't going to be easy. And it's not going to be easy for you and I to fully express what God has put in you and I. If we're just going to sit back in the armchair and get out the big mug of tea and put our feet up and warm ourselves up at the fire and say, let other people fight the battle, you're never going to fully express what you're called to express. But there's got to come a time that you gird up your loins and say, I want to do something for him. I want to fulfill the purpose to which I was called. Or I've been at this stage too long. Maybe you started to express something and then you hit a root. And that root has held you back, or there's a certain obstruction, an obstacle in your way. There's got to come a certain time that you say, I can't stay down here. I need to press my way all the way up into the presence of that great light. And when I break through into the fullness of the presence of that great light, then I can fully express what I'm supposed to express. But there's got to be a pressing, friends. There's got to be a determination inside of you. And if God has put his seed in you, that determination is in you. That's how the prophet said, Jacob, he hungered and he thirsted for the birthright. He was willing even to do anything to get the birthright, because the seed was in him. He couldn't be satisfied with things the way the rest of his friends were, his associates and his family. There was something in him that needed to be expressed, but there was a resistance. And friends, if we want to be Reverend Mr. Lily and fully express, do you want me to tell you the biggest piece of dirt that's your enemy is this.
Amen.
This piece of dirt that covers your soul. This is your enemy.
Amen.
And this is what the enemy targets his campaign against. He never comes against that seed.
Amen.
He knows he can never overcome that seed.
Amen.
He's never overcome that seed from the beginning, and he'll never overcome the seed from the end. But he knows this dirt.
Amen.
He knows the first Adam and his offspring. That there's certain appetites and there's certain weaknesses and certain desires that we have which we can respond to him with. And he brings certain bait before us. And he sees a certain response in us. And then he knows he's heading in the right direction in this great campaign. So obviously for us to overcome, it's going to need us to have the grace, to have the ability to be able to put the flesh under.
Amen.
To not be dictated to by our temper, our passions, our ambitions, our own thoughts, our own ideas. The realm of our mortality. But we've got to be able to master the thought of human ability, the prophet says. To get ourselves out the way. So the inner man, the great and mighty conqueror, the great overcomer that's in you, so he can overcome for you in the battle. And the devil knows this, that the battle now, it's between a twofold being. He knows you the outer man and you the inner man. And he knows the way to conquer the inner man, he's going to work on the outer man. And the outer man includes the realm of your human spirit, your reasoning, your memory, your emotions. That realm as well, that's where the greatest battle ever fought is fought. He never comes right down to your soul and tries to wage warfare with your soul. That's a losing battle. He'll never possess the souls of the elect. But he tries to make you ineffective. He tries to stumble you in the way. He tries to get you disappointed so that you'll head off like Moses 40 years into the wilderness and leave your brethren suffering. You see, he knows how to wage this kind of a warfare, to bring conflict in David's house by using the passions of the man's flesh. That was how he waged his warfare. And that's how the prophet now starts to explain this threefold temptation in how can I overcome? He says it in paragraph 115. He starts to speak about, he speaks about Mr. Lily, and he speaks about how we need to recognize the enemy in order for us to overcome. But then he gets to the real lessons we need to learn from the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he's the great master. He's our big brother. He's the captain of our salvation that has gone before us to show us the way to victory. To show us the way. So we need to follow his bloody footprints. We don't need to follow anything else. Just follow the bloody footprints. That's what the believer has to follow. So he says it in paragraph 115. He says, 114, he says, his 40 days of temptation, by God's word, he overcame. He says, I want to express something here just for a few minutes. Satan made three major assaults upon him in that temptation. Watch. He says, it's always in three. He tried his best to conquer him, but it was the word. Then he says, the first he made his attack upon was to use his great power. Now listen how he expresses it. He says, Satan came and wanted him to use his own power on himself. He said, turn the stones into bread. What is he using here? The prophet always told us, if Jesus had one weakness in the flesh, it was his hunger. So Satan looks to see, what appetite does this man have? What desire of the flesh is there? What is there in the natural man? The weakness, in a sense, of the natural man. What is there in this man? Not inwardly. He knows, I can't overcome the word in this man. But he's looking at the outward of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I don't know how he knew it, but he knew. The first temptation he knew, Jesus' weakness was hunger. That was the place that the great conflict was going to come. So the prophet says, Satan came and said, feed yourself. And the prophet says, he had that appetite. That's why it was a temptation. If the devil had brought something to Jesus that he didn't have something to respond to, it wouldn't have been a temptation. And there would have been no overcoming. That's why the devil studies you and I, friends. He studies us. And that is why we don't need to be giving him further equipment in his armory. You don't need to be telling the devil your weaknesses. And when the devil's on you, don't be telling everybody, I'm so discouraged these days, I'm so disappointed. Don't be, you're telling the devil. He knows now he's attacking in the right way. He knows now this campaign's having an effect. He knows now I need to pour it in on here. But when the devil comes, friends, and you're so disappointed, and you walk around still whistling, and how did the brethren ask you, how are you doing? I'm still pressing on. Friends, the devil, the prophet says, a man can get to a state that the devil doesn't know what to do with him. Amen. And the devil doesn't know what to do with Jesus. Amen. And don't you want to be that kind of a man? Amen. That's why don't tell the devil your weaknesses. Amen. Don't always be confessing your weaknesses. Amen. Don't always be telling, if that ever happens again, I'm giving up. You've just guaranteed that it's going to happen again. You've just given the devil the greatest of sticks to beat you with. Let it be a battle inside of your soul. Let it be a battle in prayer. Let it be a battle that you win by getting in the word and feeding yourselves the spiritual vitamins you need to put that desire under.
Amen.
To put that desire underfoot.
Amen.
You'll never fully overcome this flesh. It'll be dead to you. Until this body comes to the fullness of redemption, to wit the redemption of the body, it's always going to speak. It's always going to have its desires. It's always going to have its appetites. It's always going to have things it reacts to that you don't want it to react to. Don't feed your weakness. The prophet says you need to keep that under the blood. If you know your problem is the internet, stay away from the internet. If you know you're always compromised when you're amongst worldly people, stay out of those situations. Why keep putting yourself in a situation that you know you've been overcome with time and time again? If God hasn't equipped you and led you into that situation, stay away from those things. Learn from the campaigns of the past. Learn from the times in the past when you felt like giving up. Learn from the times in the past when you were overcome. Learn from those things. Because the devil learned from those things. And if you don't learn from them, he's going to come back around, dress it up in some other kind of a way. He's going to find just the opportune time and season and moment. And he's going to come and use that same methodology once again. But he's going to disguise it in such a way many times, you won't even recognize it was the devil. You won't know. You'll just, I made the same mistake that I made before. Sometimes it's deeper than that, friend. Sometimes it's a spiritual warfare. And you need to realize it's the devil trying to keep you back from your inheritance. It's the devil trying to keep you back. It's a redemptive battle that's going on. He's trying to keep you back from the fullness of what you've been redeemed for. And that's what he tried to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. And the prophet says that Jesus had that appetite. He had that something that responded to that temptation when it came. He says, to take his power that God had given him to overcome with and to use it on himself. That's a subtle thing. The devil's trying to say to him, look, you've got power, I can see that. I can see what's just happened. You've just had a mighty experience. Now, God gave him that power to fight the battle with. God didn't give him that power to use to feed his own desires. But the devil was trying to say, take this resources you've got. Take this power. Use it for yourself. Turn the stones into bread. Friend, does he knocks us down there many times. God never gave us the message to fight one another. God never gave us this message to prove we're better than other people. God never gave us this message so we can be contentious with this message. That's the devil appealing to our flesh. That he's taken the very resources that you've been given to overcome the devil in this day. And if the devil can't get those resources away from you, he's going to try to tempt you to use those resources in another way. To use those resources to satisfy your own appetites, your own desires. It's like I might come and be very disappointed and discouraged with somebody. I can take the resources I've got. I can go and search out scriptures and quotes. And I can come and stand here and fight my own battles. And I can satisfy myself, my own frustration, my own anger, whatever that it is. I can use the resources that I've been given, and God will anoint it. Gifts and callings without repentance. I can come and I can use those things like Elijah when he says, let fire come from heaven and consume you 50. And fire falls on 50 men, just obeying the orders of their king. I don't really think that was the will of God, friends. Or I can be like Elisha. I'm very angry with certain people. And I take the resources I've been given to overcome with. And I use them. Let there come she bears. Kill these children. And 42 children, innocent children, die. The prophet is because of an angered prophet. That was the devil. Making the man use those resources for the wrong purpose. Friends, this is a serious one.
Amen.
Think about it, especially for ministers.
Amen.
Especially for people who stand in front of other people.
Amen.
How easy it is to do. That you're disappointed, you're frustrated, or you feel people didn't respect you the way that they should. You see, now you're trying to prove a point now. You're trying to take your resources to prove a point because of your own appetite. Because of your own hurt feelings, your own wounded pride, whatever it is. It's spiritual warfare, friends.
Amen.
That's exactly what the devil wants you to do. That's what he tried to do with the Lord Jesus Christ as his first temptation. To get him to use those resources for himself. To satisfy his own hunger. To satisfy his own desire. Instead of saying, Father, what is your desire? The prophet says a gift is the ability to get yourself out the way. So that God can work through. There's many things I would have liked to come and said here today. In other lines and other angles. But if I want to be faithful to him and be faithful to you and be faithful to myself, I'm going to go and wait on the Lord and say, Father, thy will be done, not my will be done. And that's not easy. In the midst of conflict sometimes, in the midst of disappointments, or in the midst of whatever the devil's trying to do, sicknesses, whatever, sometimes it's not easy to get yourself out the way. But to him that overcometh, that's what the overcomer does. If the prophet says the greatest overcoming is overcoming yourself. That's the final frontier. That's the final battle that you need to face. To overcome yourself. And the Lord Jesus Christ, that was the temptation, the assault, the prophet says. The prophet says, though he could have done it. He certainly could have done it. He could have turned the stones into bread. But he had a long-term vision. He knew, I can't bow down. If I bow down to him, the plan of the redemption is gone. If I satisfy myself, the whole purpose of my calling, the whole purpose that I was born to, I'm going to disqualify myself at this point from the very purpose that I was brought unto this world. Friends, that's where the conflict comes in. That's why the prophet says, discern. See what the enemy is trying to do to you. See what I know, friends. I know my own weaknesses in my natural man. You know your weaknesses. Learn from it. There's times you don't want to listen to what's going on in your head. There's certain seasons where the devil wants to play here. You don't want to give attention to him. With me, that's one of the things I have to face. Different people have different things. Some it's money, woman, popularity, different things. But sometimes it's a battle in the mind. Depending how God has made you, depending on your makeup that he made to use for his glory, there's going to be these Achilles heels. There's going to be these chinks in the armor because of your genetics, because of coming from Adam when he fell and we're born as children of the fall, naturally speaking. You're going to have these propensities inside of you to self-destruction if you're not careful. There's going to be certain things inside of you that if you obey those things, if you submit those things to you, you can do a tremendous lot of damage to yourself and to the people that God has put you to be with in that age. Amen. You can do a tremendous amount of damage. Now listen how the prophet says the next paragraph is see how the devil gets. He says the devil wants you to mind him, to listen to him. But Jesus minded only what the Father said do. Amen. You know you're on treacherous ground when you start listening to the devil. Remember when Sharon Rose was dying and the devil came in that visible form to the prophet. And he said all those things, but after all that you've done, you used to fast and have to pray to get up the telephone pole at work because you were so weak. You used to preach on the streets and come at night and sit in the chair and fall asleep in the chair. You've served him. And he just has to just look at that child, it'll be well. After all that he's done for you, and he allows this to happen. And the prophet says, everything he was saying to me was the truth. And the prophet almost listened to him. But then the grace of God came in. The prophet says, and then something came from deep within. Here came the overcomer. Here came the redeemed man to the battlefront. And he says, get behind me, Satan. Though he slay me, yet I will trust him. Who gave me this wife? Who gave me this baby? The Lord has taken. The Lord has given. The Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And the prophet says, if there hadn't have been something on the inside of the inside, he said, we wouldn't be knowing each other the way that we are. Like, can you see where the victory came? The devil will play here, friends. He'll tell you things that are perfectly reasonable and so truthful. But his motive and his objective is not to do you good. He's not trying to do you good. He can make you reason something until you'll absolutely convince yourself that it's right. and it'll be 100% contrary to God's will for your life.
Amen.
And that's where the victory, the overcoming has to come in. You've got to master the ability of getting that out of the way.
Amen.
And finally, what does Papa have to say about this? What does God say about this? Lord, what are your thoughts about this situation? What are my fresh battle orders? Lord, this, I'm not exactly sure what to do here. That is to get yourself out the way.
Amen.
And listen to the inner man.
Amen.
Get in tune once again so that he who dwells in you, he who's already overcome the devil, that the mighty conqueror in you can express himself in that situation. Ah, friends, how wonderful that it is at those kind of times. I remember once when we had a big fuss with the ministers about different things. And then I didn't really know what was going on. I told the saints many times. And I went to Phoenix Park and I was praying. It was a Saturday. I was there for the day. And I didn't understand. And I was praying. I said, Lord, I don't understand what's going on here. And there were certain things that had happened in Africa and different things. And then, as fresh as anything, it just dropped to me. Reaction to an action. It was so strong. I got my computer. I opened it straight. I searched in the message. And it completely transformed the whole battle. Because now I understood what was taking place. Ah, Lord. You're testing the reaction to an action.
Amen.
Then I saw the prophet with this boy and girl came kissing in the meeting and the anointing came on him. How was he going to react? He could have used his gift. He could have used his anointing to satisfy his desire, the way he was feeling. His disappointment, his frustration, his anger at those people that were disrupting the meeting. But something rose up from him. And he says, and before I even knew what I said, I forgive you.
Amen.
He says, and that's what he wanted me to say. And the Lord had told him the day before, be careful, there's a trap set for you. Be careful what you say. Now some of us need to take that and print it in A3 paper and put it on the fridge. Be careful what you say. Because some of us, maybe that's not our problem. But other people, this is the one that the devil gets us with. Like with Peter, your speech betrays you. Sometimes your speech. That's what every one of us have that. But at that time, the prophet, the Lord had warned him. He asked the people, pray for me. There's a temptation coming and I desire God's wisdom and God's grace to know what to do when the battle comes. And then he was standing there. He says, my hands gripping the pulpit, dripping with sweat. He says, the anointing left me. He says, and then from within, something said, I forgive you. It was from the subconscious. It was the overcomer in him that he got himself out of the way. Put his own feelings, his own whatever he was feeling at that time. And God stepped in on the scene. And he overcomes every time. He's never lost a battle. And he never will lose a battle. And if we'll just follow him, we'll never lose a battle either. You would think that Satan thought he had the Lord Jesus Christ when it came to this great battle of Calvary. Satan thought he had him. I've got him. But he was led into that battle. Therefore, he was going to be an overcomer. And what Satan thought was a victory was actually his greatest defeat. It was his final defeat. And the same as you and I. If we are following his leadership, following the bloody footprints, even when we get in situations that we seem to be overcome, God's going to work it out for the good. There's going to come a victory out of that situation. Because it's the overcomer leading you through that situation to teach you something, to minister something to you in that situation. So the prophet says, he says, now look how he says it about the sisters. He says, sometimes Satan can take you, and when you're thinking you're doing the will of God, he can make you a proposition like he did to Jesus. And you will fall for it. Yes, sir. He says, let's take for instance our sisters. He says, maybe they're pretty. If he can get you to a place that he sees your hair growing out. So you wanted to grow your hair out now for the glory of God. In accordance with the word. So you're trying to do something for the glory of God. Yeah, he says, but you didn't realize it looked so nice on you. So someone will have always cut their hair, a woman. And she comes to the message and then she starts growing her hair out. In fulfillment of God's will. The devil, if you're not careful, will take that same thing,
Amen.
The same resources that are used for God's glory, and he's going to get you to try to use that for your glory in the end. And that same sister goes and looks in the mirror now and says, hey, but I'm far more beautiful with my hair being long. You see, and then the prophet says that. He says, and the first thing you know, you get a kind of little stuck up, little above somebody else feeling. He says, the devil's overcome you there. That's what he can do. He's cunning, friends, this Amen. Enemy. That's why we need Christ every step of the way. Amen. We need his help. Amen. I don't understand believers who leave their Bibles at church. I don't understand believers who can go the whole week without getting in the message. How are you going to overcome? Because the devil's not waiting at church for you next Sunday. Amen. He's with you during the week. Amen. The battle doesn't stop when you leave here today. Amen. The battle's tomorrow at college, the next day at school, the next day in the hospital, the next day in your mind, the next day in your flesh, the next day at work, the next day in your family. Amen. So you're going to need him. To be using the resources that is given us in this age to prevail and overcome. So that you can fulfill the very purpose to which you were sent, to which you were called. So the prophet says, be careful. You've got to overcome that, he says to the sisters. You've got to be able to put your flesh under and says, no, this is for the glory of God. I'm not going to use this for anything else. He speaks of Elvis and those people taking their gifts and using them for the devil. And how they're going to have to stand before God one day because God gave them those gifts and those abilities. But don't forget, let's say somebody has a real good voice and they want to come and sing for the Lord. Or somebody wants to write something for the Lord. Don't forget, the moment Jesus stepped into his ministry, one step, the devil met him there. Amen. To try to discourage him. It's going to be the same with people who come to stand, especially in public, as a musician, as a song leader, whatever. The moment that you step forward, in your ministry, in your calling, like Jesus in the wilderness, the devil's there to face you straight away. Amen. And he's going to try to find some way to discourage you. Amen. He's going to look in your makeup. He's going to study what you respond to, your appetites, your desires, your thoughts, your pride, whatever that it is. And he's going to cause circumstances to poke you there. And if you're not careful and recognize this is the devil trying to disqualify you. This is the devil trying to hinder me from the purpose that Christ called me for. Amen. Put the thing down and say, I don't want to do it again next week. It's so easy to do that. It's so easy to do that. And you know who laughs the loudest? It's the devil. He laughs. Ha! He says, look what's going on there. But is it not better when the discouragement comes? You gird up your loins, you go back to the Lord and say, Lord, you need to encourage me once again. David encouraged himself in the Lord, the Bible says. Encourage yourself and then say, Lord, I'm back on the front line next week. If you discouraged me last week, I'm going to do twice as much next week. That's the way you overcome the devil. You overcome the devil with good. When the devil discourages you. You know what I always do? If I'm at home then, or something happens and you really get discouraged, somebody tells you something, somebody does something, I straight get my phone and I start doing something for the Lord. I do. I phone someone, text somebody, do something, visit somebody, do something for the Lord. I want to poke the devil in his eye. I say, yes, you got a blow there, that's okay, but I'm going to put a blow back once again. Because the moment we start submitting to that situation and giving in to that kind of feeling and circumstance, how are we ever going to get to where we're supposed to in this great battle? Surely we've got to sometimes not pay attention to our feelings. You've got to just grit your teeth sometimes as a believer. You know that kind of a feeling? That you just got to get up. If anybody ever watched that film, Braveheart, there's one part that really moved me. It was in the second battle. When his friends betrayed him. And they're winning the battle, William Wallace and them. And then the nobles on their horses are supposed to come in at a certain time to help them to win the battle. And he gives the signal with a flag just at that time. And the people he thought were with him weren't with him. They'd been paid off by the king that he was fighting against. And he looks and he sees all them departing over the hill from the battle. And he's already been wounded badly in the battle. And he just sinks down. And he's going to give up. And then, who was the other guy? What is his name? Robert the Bruce. He comes up to him. And you don't know it's Robert the Bruce. Robert the Bruce is supposed to be his allies fighting on the other side. In armor. And Robert the Bruce now, when he sees this heroic man being betrayed in the midst of battle like that, it's too much for him. Amen. He comes and he takes William Wallace and puts him on his own horse and takes him to safety. And I always felt for William Wallace at that kind of a time. At that time, right in the thickest of the battle. That's why I say that Judas kiss, it was a blow for the Lord Jesus Christ. And right at that time, when you need someone to stand with you, and you find out the person's not standing with you. That's treachery. That's like in heaven when Michael, what's Lucifer doing? After all the resources I've ministered to the man, after all that I've done to the man's plotting his own things inside of his heart. That wasn't easy, friends. But that's the battle. And those kind of times, you've got to get yourself up. Amen. You've got to dust yourself down. You've got to grit your teeth and you've got to go forward.
Amen.
Because there's no retreat to a Amen. Believer. You've got to go forward and say, that's okay. It happened to Jesus.
Amen.
It happened to Paul.
Amen.
Yeah, and you go and look at it in the Bible and you start saying, okay, well, this is the way that it's got to be.
Amen.
Then you get yourself in the message and you start finding it in the message. Then you say, oh, we're walking in the bloody footprints.
Amen.
And as long as you're walking in the bloody footprints, all is well.
Amen.
Let everything else take care of itself. It's going to come out well in the end.
Amen.
Let's come to a close by looking at this third temptation that the prophet says. With the second one we looked at last week when he was told to cast himself down. But now he speaks in paragraph 139. He speaks of the third great assault. In fact, I'll just read one quote here first when the prophet speaks about your appetite, you know, your desire. He says in that message, what is that in your hand? He says, in his temptation, he was 40 days in the wilderness. Jesus was in the wilderness 40 days. And when he came out, Satan tempted him at his weakest spot, hunger. Now, I think it's good for us to know where our weakest spot is. It's good for us to recognize where our weakest spot is, because he's going to get you there. Then he goes on to say in blind Bartimaeus, look how he speaks to the Lord Jesus Christ, how Jesus wouldn't listen to the devil. Jesus wouldn't allow the devil to set the agenda of his life. He wouldn't allow the devil to influence him in the decisions that he made or the things that he did. He wouldn't. He speaks about Bartimaeus sitting there and Jesus coming out of Jericho, and, you know, with the weight of the world upon his shoulders. And he says, people were shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna. This is blind Bartimaeus, 1960. He says, then you can hear the head of the Association of Jerusalem, the priests screaming out saying, you false prophet. They say you raised a dead man. We've got a whole grave full of them up here. Come up and raise these. Let us see you do it. The prophet says, but you see, Jesus never did mind devils.
Amen.
He didn't listen to devils. No matter what voice, they were coming through religious people. But it was the devil. He says, he just let them go on. Sometimes that's the hardest thing to do.
Amen.
Just to let something go on. So that's okay. Just leave it. I'm not getting involved. Because your appetite, your passion, your desire, you want to prove yourself. You want to prove that you're right. You want to show that's not fair. That wasn't true what that person said. It's natural in us. We want to take the resources
Amen.
Now and use them to fight the battle for ourselves.
Amen.
We're not supposed to be fighting for ourselves. We're fighting for him.
Amen.
That's what we should be fighting for. And Jesus didn't. He says, he minded the Father. He did what Father showed him to do. He didn't turn any stones to bread. Brother George sings that song, you know. Jesus is so much love when it speaks about that. That the word, Jesus, he never bows. No matter what the devil offers, the word will never bow. The word will not listen to the devil. Nor take its instructions from the devil. But many times you don't recognize that it's the devil because he's working through our flesh. He's working through our desires. He's working through our anger. He's working through our frustration, our disappointment. And we don't recognize the devil's energizing that in us. Trying to get us to react and use our resources for something they weren't supposed to be used for. And he says, hanging on the cross, they said, tear your hands loose. Come down off the cross if you be the Christ. You can't tell me that didn't react something in Jesus. When he looked at it, don't they realize who I am? Don't they realize I'm dying for them? It wasn't easy. And they're saying, tear your hands. And the prophet says, he could have done it. He could easily have done it, friends. But then we would have been lost. We would have been lost. That's where the great thing, that was his focus, was the purpose of his Father. Was the ultimate aim of this battle. Was to bring many sons into glory.
Amen.
And the devil's trying to disqualify him from that. Trying to sidetrack him from that. But the word doesn't bow
Amen.
To the devil. The word doesn't
Amen.
Mind
Amen.
Devils, the prophet says.
Amen.
Doesn't mind. He says he could have done it. But if he had have done it, he would have been minding the devil. This is Billy Sunday said every tree had 50 angels sitting on it that day. And those angels were just saying, Just tear one hand loose. Just point to us. We'll change the situation in a few minutes. And the prophet says, they would have done it.
Amen.
It was tempting. He was there saying, I don't have to go through with this. I didn't do anything to deserve what I'm going through. These are redemptive battles, friends. These are battles that you ordain to go through.
Amen.
These are battles that fulfill the purpose of God in our lives.
Amen.
Be careful at those kind of times. Don't be led of the flesh. Don't let the natural man govern you. Don't mind the devil. He says, Caiaphas said, he saved others. Himself he cannot save. That was the greatest compliment he ever had. He couldn't save others if he saved himself. So he gave himself to save others. I'm glad that he was able to resist that temptation of the devil. Aren't you glad today? I'm so glad he was able to resist it. We wouldn't be here if he didn't overcome the devil. And there's people in this world, friends, who are waiting for you to overcome your temptation, because God's equipping you to help them to overcome their temptation. And if you don't overcome, they're going to stay there perishing in the world. That's the way that these conflicts are important conflicts, friends. They're not just light things. This is our adoption, our calling. That's what the devil's attacking. He doesn't fear you. The problem is, who are you? This is 5'5" Zimbabwean dust, yeah? Kentucky dust, South African dust, Slovakian dust, Serbian dust, Congolese dust. It's not the dust that he fears. It's the overcomer in us.
Amen.
He can do a lot of damage in the kingdom of the devil. That's for sure. Just to take one more, he says, they smacked him on the face. Remember they were saying, tell us who hit you. He could easily have taken his resources and he could have shown them, I know exactly who you are. Is that easy, friends, when somebody slaps you on the face? When you've done nothing wrong. He had done nothing wrong. Can you see that was a real temptation?
Amen.
And there must have been a reaction in the flesh as a man, Jesus. Something would have risen up to say, but don't think it doesn't happen to all of us. It does.
Amen.
But you don't want to give in like Moses. You rebels, and he smites and he loses his inheritance. It's easy to do it, friends.
Amen.
See, and you make yourself feel better, but you get yourself in a lot of trouble with God. It's quite an easy thing to do. He says they smacked him on the face and did everything by pulling his beard from his face. Hey! Spitting upon him and trying to get him to do something wrong. Can you see what the devil's trying to get you and I to do?
Amen.
To defile ourselves and our calling.
Amen.
He's trying to get us to do something wrong.
Yeah.
And why this battle with the Lord Jesus Christ was the most epic of battles his whole life. If he just did one thing wrong, we were lost.
Amen.
If he had have just done one thing wrong, we were lost.
Thank you, Lord.
Ah, friends. That's what I'm saying. He's the great overcomer.
Amen.
He's the great and mighty conqueror. Amen. He's the one who's worthy of praise.
Amen.
That's why when we get to that day, we're going to take our crowns and say, don't talk to me about a crown. Don't talk to me about a robe. And we're going to cast our crowns at his feet, because he's the great overcomer. He overcame it all for us. Then he comes and lives in us. And if you just listen to him, we're going to overcome it all as well. That's the way that this warfare works. So he says, trying to get him to do something wrong. He said, I could speak to my father. He had sent 12 legions of angels. Remember when they came to arrest Jesus, and Peter cut off Malchus' ear. And Jesus said, put up your sword. Don't you know I could speak to my father now? He could send 12 legions. You know how many angels that is? 72,000 angels. The prophet said, well, just take one legion to destroy the world. Jesus says, do you not know I could call for 12 legions? But what does the next verse say? But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled? Can you see what governed Jesus?
Amen.
Not his own fighting, his own battles, proving us right, proving us wrong. What was Jesus governed by? He wanted to fulfill that which was written of him.
Amen.
How then shall the scriptures be fulfilled?
Amen.
Peter, put your sword in its sheath. And he heals the man's ear, and he goes on into his temptation. I could call 12 legions. Why? The prophet says, he could do it. He had the power. But why? Because he had to taste death.
Amen.
He knew my father's leading me into death.
Amen.
This is what I'm ordained unto. I cannot bring forth the great harvest of wheat, me being the corn of wheat, unless I fall in the ground and die. And the same as you and I. Until this dies, friends. Until this dies from being the supreme influence in our lives, we cannot bring forth what we're supposed to bring forth. We have to allow this corn of the wheat, the natural nature, ambitions, desires, to fall in the ground and perish. And then we can fulfill perfectly the calling to which you called. Because now we're going to glorify His name.
Amen.
Now He's going to give us third pool resources, friends, Amen. To glorify His name. When He knows you're not going to use them to fight battles with one another with. But when our intentions, our hearts, the battlefield is in the right condition.
Amen.
We've been proved and tested. That's when He gives it to us.
Amen.
Now let's finish with this. Not very long. The third assault. He says the third great assault. What was it? When Satan said, bow down and worship me. You don't have to go to Calvary. You don't have to sweat blood in Gethsemane. You don't have to meet all the opposition of the people and the criticisms of the people and the betrayal of Judas and 70 departing from you. And you don't have to go through those things. I can give you all the kingdoms of the world now. It's called the temptation of Jesus. It was tempting.
Amen.
Otherwise he wouldn't have been an overcomer. He was tempted by it. The prophet says the third great assault. Satan offered to forfeit this kingdom to him. He did. Satan said, you see these kingdoms of the world? These are mine and I do with them whatsoever I want to. I'll forfeit them to you. But remember, he was trying to get him to forfeit it without the cross. Now let's bring it to ourselves, friends. The prophet in harvest time says, he'll offer you a position.
Amen.
He'll say, come to us, we'll make you a preacher. Something like that. But now, let's really think of this. In order for Jesus to obtain this kingdom lawfully, he has to go the way of the cross.
Amen.
He has to. Because the way of the cross is going to qualify him for that position. So the devil's trying to give him a position that he's not yet qualified for.
Amen.
And it's only the redemptive walk that he's ordained to walk through that's going to equip him and qualify him to be an overcomer for that throne.
Amen.
Same as us. Why does the Lord hold certain things back from us? We're his children.
Amen.
We're his children, but there's a redemptive walk that you've got to walk.
Amen.
That's why the prophet says when those brothers came to him saying, we just received the Holy Ghost, should we seek for gifts? He says, don't you do it.
Amen.
You'll be stuffed shut.
Amen.
He says, if God has something for you, he knows how to bring them
Amen.
To you. But you're going to have to go the way of the cross first.
Amen.
You're going to have to walk the redemptive walk. You're going to have to walk the bloody footprints. You're going to have the smiting and the bruising and the spitting in the face and be tested and tried first before you qualified for the kingdom. Can you see what a temptation that it was, friends? And the devil comes to us. Somebody texts me this week. I can't remember who it was. I think it was Brother James. He's not here today, but he said it to me. He said, that's where the charismatics fell. He says, the prosperity preaching. They don't realize that it's the way of the cross. They don't realize the most important thing. God, he wants to give you character before he gives you authority. He wants to give you character before he gives you power. Otherwise, you'll just do damage to yourself, damage to his kingdom. If he loves you, he'll hold those things back from you until you're fully qualified to handle them. But if we keep on begging him, the prophet says he'll give them to us. Like King Hezekiah. When thus saith the Lord came to him, and the prophet came and said, thus saith the Lord, set your house in order, you're going to die. That was God's perfect will.
Amen.
Then he set his face to the Lord and he cried and said, Lord, I've served you with a perfect heart. Give me another 15 years. And God gave him a permissive will. And you go and read the life of Hezekiah. He regretted those 15 years, friends.
Amen.
There's nothing better than the perfect will of God.
Amen.
But because he sought the Lord so much, God gave him what he was looking for. But he regretted it afterwards.
Amen.
Those brothers who came to the prophet, those two brothers, and said, Brother Bram, can you please tell us such and such a thing about our future? And he said, brothers, don't play with those things. And they begged the prophet, can't you tell us this and that? And the prophet told them. And he says, It's the worst thing that happened to them. They wished they'd never known. You don't need to know certain things, friends.
Amen.
Just leave it. All you need is the bloody footprints. What's the next step to take? What's the next battle that you need to overcome? What's the next expectation that heaven has of you now? What is God expecting of you now? Don't mind anything else. Don't mind the flesh. Don't mind the devil. You just keep walking what God has for you. He'll never hold it back from the overcomers. You just overcome and see how God will take you further on in your life. That's the next stage. So he says, but remember, he's trying to get it without the cross. And if he did it, we would have been lost. He could have taken the kingdom. But he must follow, the prophet says. He was tempted to do it now. Yes, it's a hard thing. He was tempted to take his liberty and be the king of the earth without the cross. But if he did, his subjects would have died. Now that's spiritual as well for you and I. Friends, if we try to take the easy way, the very people God puts us to influence, they die as well. Because they'll follow the same footprints we're following. And if we try to take the easy way, if we try to do it, bypass God's system, what are we going to do with the people that follow us? When we're leaving footprints in the sands of time, they're going to follow our footprints. But where's the footprints going to lead them? It's not going to lead them to the throne. Because when we bypass the cross, we don't get to the throne. And that's why for yourself, for your children's sake, for your family's sake, for your brothers and sisters' sake, stay on the bloody footprints.
Amen.
No matter the price, no matter how unpopular it may make you, even if the rest of the children in school are allowed to do something, don't allow your children to do what's sinful. Even if the rest of the world is watching this, that, and that, doesn't mean you must let your children watch this, that, and the other. Even if they all dress up as Superman and all those people, why do you want your children to dress up as Superman? Batman. The prophet says bats are types of devils.
Amen.
A natural type of a devil. Demons. Be careful of the footprints that you leave, friends.
Amen.
That man who was drunk and walking in the snow and his son was following his footprints. And he said, son, what are you doing? He says, daddy, I'm following your footprints. He says, son, don't follow my footprints. Don't follow my footprints when I'm doing this. But that's why we need to go the way of the cross.
Amen.
Not just for ourselves. Jesus didn't go the way of the cross just for himself to inherit the throne.
Amen.
He knew all that would follow his footsteps.
Amen.
He made the way open because
he's
the captain of our salvation.
Amen.
And he knew if I give into this battle now, all of those behind me aren't going to make it either.
Amen.
All my subjects are going to die. And that was the weight on the shoulders of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, coming to a close, he says, he came and he suffered. And he took the hard, rugged route. He took the route of persecution. He took the route of death. Are we, this morning, willing to take the same route that he took? Are we willing to die? What is it to die? To die to your reputation. In your community. It's not easy. But you have to die. But nothing dies easily. It kicks and struggles for life. Are you willing to die to your ambitions that are totally contrary to God's purpose for your life? Are you willing to die? Because Jesus was. Jesus was willing to die. He was willing to forfeit it all because he knew what was coming at the end. He was going to do it lawfully. He was going to do it God's provided way. He says, he endured all temptations for me and you. He could have took it right then. But what did he take the other route for? So that you and I could come and be with him. Friend, what a principle that is. You know, the prophet, he could hardly put two words together sometimes without making a spelling mistake. But the spiritual wisdom the man had. The way that God could just get the man right down below the surface of the word. And come and show you exactly what that word was. That's why I believe this message. I don't care what all the other people say about this, that, and the other. But the witness of my own soul, when I start getting myself in these messages, tells me this is from God. This is what we need to overcome in this age. It's a witness of your own soul. He said, he endured all things for you and I. And he is our example how to overcome our evil generation. As he overcame his evil generation. Let's learn from him, friends. Let's learn from those lessons. Remember, when he came to the earth, there's just as much unbelief or more than there is at this time. It didn't bother him a bit. When they called him a devil instead of God, when they called him everything that could be done, it didn't bother him a bit. He had one object. Mind the Father.
Amen.
Keep his word. The word is God. Amen. He had one mind.
Amen.
And friends, the Bible says, let this mind that was in Christ also be in you.
Amen.
Let it be in you. And it means sometimes you're going to have to wrestle in prayer. Sometimes you're going to have to fast and pray. Sometimes you're going to have to call your brethren and say, brothers, please, come and watch for me for 1 hour. Because the battle is intense.
Amen.
Satan's trying to get me to go another way. Satan's trying to bait me. He's trying to tempt me. He's trying to get me to take the easy route. He's trying to disqualify me. He's trying to sidetrack me. He's trying to get me off course. Friends, the seed inside of you, you've got Reverend Mr. Lilly in there. And that seed, if you just keep feeding, it's going to keep pressing. No matter what comes, it's going to keep pressing. It's going to keep pressing towards the light until it's going to break forth and display the glory of God. And others will come and take from those resources. And then at the end of the battle, you can sit down and you can put the sword back in the sheath and say, Father, the rest has come. Enter into the joys of the Lord. Let's stand, saints. Let's sing. In Jesus' name. Amen. I'd really recommend, saints, listen to that message, How Can I Overcome? 1963, it's a very, very wonderful message. And if you even just think of the title, the prophets are asking the question, how can I overcome?
Amen.
That's what attracts me to that message, because I need to overcome and so do you.
Amen.
So when God sends a message to equip us in this age, feed your soul in that message and see what an overcome it will make you.
Rise and sing through.
bow. We will bow. We will bow and shine it
when it's over.
And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown in that new Jerusalem. Sure.
Pray. Let's just sing one song that speaks of the way to victory. Do you want to know the sure way to victory? Let's sing that song. All to Jesus, I surrender. It says, I surrender all. And friends, it's just surrendering into his hands. The prophet says, if I'm fighting it, he can't fight it. But when I give it into his hands, that's when he can fight the battle. But if you keep taking it back in your own hands and trying to fight it yourself, the Lord has to step back from the battlefield and say, it's your battle now. But when you get to the stage to say, the battle is the Lord's, and you leave it in his hands, no matter what the outward circumstances may seem, it may even seem worse before it gets better, but leave it in his hands to surrender it all to him. Let's sing the song. Let's come to a time of prayer, saints.
All to Jesus, I surrender. To him I I will ever love and trust him in his presence daily. I surrender, my Lord.
Oh! Saints, let's come to the altar today. Let's just lay our souls upon the altar. Let's just seek that His grace will energize the inner man. That the voice of the inner man will speak louder to you than the voice of the outer man. If the outer man, the black horse, has preeminence, I would say you need to stop feeding it as much as you do. And feed the white horse. And you'll find He's the overcomer. He will lead you to victories you would never have believed were possible. Because He's the great and mighty conqueror. And greater is He that's in you than he that dwells in the world. Why don't you just speak to the Lord about your situation? Lay it on the altar. Let's all call upon the name of the Lord. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you, Lord Jesus, just for this time. I thank you for this day. I thank you, Father, that you've given unto us, Lord, Father.
Father, we come before the Lord, given in gladness. Father, Lord, in gratitude, Lord, given upon this time. Father, for where could, Lord, one desire to be, Lord, given upon a day like this, Lord, but to be, Lord, even in the house of God. Father, to be, Lord, even in that house of judgment, Lord, Father, knowing indeed, Lord, sending your word. I pray for Brother Tommy, their way, be Lord, to prosper, Lord. I pray, Lord, save me for Brother George, pray, Lord, even upon this day, bless them, Father, even as they will, Lord, serve me, Lord, Father, to Brother Billings, this night, Lord, coming, Lord. Father, you keep us, Lord, serve me, you direct us, Lord. Father, just shepherd us in all that we do, Lord, serve me, God. We keep, Lord, serve me back to thee, Lord, what belongeth unto thee, Lord, serve me, God. Father, you have the preeminence at all times.
Amen. Let's sing that song, We're Walking in the Footsteps of Elohim. I'm so glad that Elohim became flesh.
Amen.
And he overcame. Amen. And he left bloody footprints, and now we walk in the footprints of Elohim. May the Lord help us to be faithful right to the end of the journey.
Narrow path, the hardest way. Is waiting for you because of what you've decided. That was the prophecy.
By the prophecy,
the angel told to the great messenger. That is what will produce great victory in the love divine.
Oh, I will walk this path.
I will walk this path. Against the enemy, but His Holy Spirit,
but His Holy Spirit
will lead us to perfect love.
Oh, there is not much time remaining.
There is not much time.
We can hear the chariot.
beloved ones coming to meet.
Oh, I will walk this path. I will walk this path. In the footsteps of Elohim, I want to get to the end of time.
For 1 minute, since I wonder if Brother George wouldn't mind singing us a song. Would you sing us that song, bro? Jesus is so much love. If you can, bro. It's a wonderful song. I love the last verse so much when it speaks about the devil coming to Jesus to turn the stones to bread. And how it says, you know, that the word, even when it's put to the test, the word doesn't bow. And the truth of it is, friends, the word in you will never bow. It's the outward man. He's the one that would bow. Just remind you the announcement for tomorrow, youth outing tomorrow. Meeting at the church at 7 in the morning. For further details, please see Brother Wilmore after church. That one's really putting the flesh to death. Yeah?
Some people just don't know who Jesus is, oh, what he's done for man. They just believe all the lies that Satan tells, while he blinds them from God's plan. But we know who Christ is, that's why shout and praise. Praise the Lord in the highest for his grace and a love like this. Jesus is so much love. Jesus is so much love. Jesus is so much love, oh, so much love to me. My Jesus is all of love, he is agape love, he wants the same for you, if you let him. Christ traded his scepter for a tin shepherd's staff when he left his glorious throne. To condescend and take his missing half, he trod the thorny fields all alone. Then he descended into a pit, his lost love laboring, till he will reign and set free them to reign for eternity. Jesus is so much love. Jesus is so much love. Jesus is so much love. Oh, so much love.
me. My Jesus is all of love. He's a cup of love and wants the same for you. If you let him, Christ met the tempter with the shepherd's staff, who thought that he was there for bread. So he offered him all that a man would want, but Jesus was on things at stand. For with Christ, one little lost soul is worth all of this life's gold. So he wipes the sweat from his brow, full and dry. The Lord, he don't bow. Jesus is so much love. Jesus is so much love. My Jesus is all of love. Oh, so much love to me. My Jesus is all of love. He's a cup of love and wants the same for you if you let him be. The rich young ruler one day met the Christ, seeking for to find eternal life. Had lots of good circular from his youth, but yet lacking the truth. Oh, when Christ spoke to him that day, he sadly turned and walked away. Too much self he had, and self with self. No, it never shares. Jesus is so much love. My Jesus is so much love. Jesus is so much love. Oh, so much love to me. My Jesus is all of love. He's a cup of love and wants the same for you. Won't you let him be?
Amen, amen, amen. Let's stand, saints. Let's bow our heads, saints. The song says, Satan came to offer him, but to Jesus, one lost soul,
amen,
is worth than all of the world's gold. Is that not wonderful?
Amen.
He could have had the world, but he was thinking about you.
Amen.
And he was thinking about me. He could have gone, sat on the throne. He could have ruled over the kingdoms of the earth. But he wouldn't do it without going through the cross. Because he knew he had to leave the bloody footprints for us. He had to open the way. I just say to anybody here today who hasn't made that choice to follow this rejected king, you're not walking on the bloody footprints. It's the greatest thing you can ever do in your life. It's the greatest thing anybody can ever decide to do, is to follow Jesus. Yes, there'll be trials. Yes, there'll be this, that, and the other. But the glory of communion with him, the glory of his fellowship, the glory of the fellowship of his people, the glory of serving him, the glory of worshiping him, that far outweighs anything else that this world can offer, or that the devil can throw at you. So if there's anybody here today, just raise your hand as we close in prayer and just say, Jesus, I want to walk with you. I want to walk the bloody footprints, Lord. I want to glorify your name. Father, we thank you, Lord. Father, we're just thinking about Jesus at this time, Lord. We're just thinking of the one, Lord, who, Father, he wiped his brow. Lord, he walked the rough ways of this life and the days of his flesh, that, Jesus, we might be saved, that we might have a hope, that we might have redemption. Lord, that there might be something that would come, your grace, your forgiveness,
your blood to wash away our sins. And Father, to quicken us in the inner man. And Father, to equip us for this life's journey. And Father, we just want to submit ourselves to you. Because you know the way. Father, you've never lost a battle. Lord, every battle you ever fought has been a victory. Lord, you've conquered the enemy, Lord. He's under your feet. You stripped him at Calvary. You disarmed him of every weapon that he has. And Father, we know today that he's defeated and he's in the corner and he's stripped. And the only weapons he has are lies and deceit. And Father, we just thank you for your word that strips away all the deceit that shines a light into the darkness, that we see him for what he is, that he's just a tempter. But Lord, even in his temptation, all that he does by putting us through these trials is to better equip us for the throne. So Father, we thank you that you are so wise. You are so good, Lord. Father, you know exactly what we need and when we need it. And we give ourselves to you upon this day. Father, do pray, Lord, for each soul that is here. Each and every soul. I just pray, Lord, that your presence of your grace will draw nigh and overshadow every soul, even at this time, Lord. Where there's answers needed, Father, you are the light. You are the truth. Father, where there's direction needed, you are the way. Lord, show the way. Where there's needs that you have, Father, you are Jehovah Jireh. Lord, you are our provider. Lord, you are Jehovah Rapha. You are Jehovah Shalom. You can give us, Lord, you can prepare a table for us even in the presence of our enemies, Lord. How wonderful that thought, Lord. Even if the enemy would rage, Lord, we can sit at the table, dine as your guests in the secret place of the Most High. And there's nothing that he can do to touch us when we're in fellowship with the King. Because, Lord, you are the authority. You are the supreme authority. And we thank you for that, Lord. Father, bless us as we go from this place. Do want to pray for the meeting at Brother Billy's this evening. Please bless it, Lord. I do want to pray, Lord, for the youth once again tomorrow. Bless it, Lord. I just want to pray for them that aren't here upon this day. Father, visit them with your grace. Lord, wherever they'd be, some at work, some different places. Some maybe are low in spirit, Lord. I do want to just ask and pray for your grace and your mercy. That, Lord, you would visit them with your oil and your wine. On the Jericho road, Lord, that Father, even as you said, I will restore, saith all the Lord. You said you'd restore all that the palmer worm and the caterpillar and the canker worm has eaten, Lord. We thank you, Lord, there's a restoration. And Lord, we submit ourselves to you. Bless us as you go from this place. Thank you for the singing. Thank you for the children and their wonderful singing. Bless them this morning, Lord. Thank you for your people. Thank you for the tithes and the offerings, Lord. Thank you for the faithfulness of your people to give. Father, in every prayer request, Lord, every person who asks for prayer, just pray, Lord, hasten the answer for your glory. Father, that the resources may be used for your glory is our desire. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 God bless saints. Let's sing one more as we dismiss.
Worship you, dear. You are worthy to be praised.
You are Alpha.
You are Alpha and Omega. Worship you.